Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
This is the Money Matters Radio Network. It is 3:04, and this is the mid-afternoon edition, June night, hosting for you up until 4 o'clock. And in studio with me, Brendan King. He is from Estate Preservation Law Offices out in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hey, Brendan, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, June.
Good to see you on this Wednesday. Of course, you're in studio with me every Wednesday from 3 until 4 o'clock if people want to set the dial and return visit every week.
That's right. Too bad you couldn't have like an alarm, like a weekly alarm clock. You know, the weekly alarm clock would be a good thing. You know, just, get on the phone, call Brendan, ask him all your estate planning questions, your probate questions, and see what we can do.
Absolutely. And the studio lines, 888-205-2263, if you've got questions for Brendan, because that is what we're talking about. Your estate planning, wills, 888-205-2263. So what are we talking about? What are we learning about today?
So it's classes in session, June. So we're going to be talking about special needs planning and planning for individuals with special needs. And really, this has become a topic that has been very busy in our practice the past few years. I think, you know, people are becoming more and more aware of the things that they should be doing for their children. They're becoming more aware of diagnosis. I mean, I think we've seen the boom in autism. A lot of people being very concerned about the future of their children. A lot of the kids that we see are very young, and a lot of the parents will come in and say, hey, listen, I've been dealing with all this stuff. We're fighting with schools. We're trying to get our curriculum in order for our children. And then they finally kind of get around to the fact, and one day they'll say, well, whatever happens if we're not here? You know, what should we be thinking about for our kids? And it's tough because, you know, sometimes you're projecting out 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And these kids are real small. So just having an ability to, get your arms around that thought is really the first task for a lot of individuals. Getting to the topic, I think, is a big deal, too, because I think what we see is a lot of people will be so caught up in the day-to-day, which is a big deal for a lot of parents with individuals with special needs, the day-to-day needs of their children, what they have to do for them, meeting them and driving them here or you know, special schools and what have you, just making sure that they get the day-to-day needs done. To think in the future is almost like the cherry on top. You know, I'll get to that when I get to that, but it really needs to be done at some point. So I guess that's what we're going to be talking about today. Just, you know, when you get to that point where you feel like you want to talk to somebody about it, these are some of the things that you should be thinking about, and this is why you should be thinking about them. So that's what I'd like to cover today.
Just the fact that you can get somebody to think about it and start planning is probably a big step
and
the first step, right?
It is. It really is. And getting them to realize that this is something they need to do. And, getting the point across, you know, you almost have to. I tell a lot of my clients, you know, you can wait to plan and do what you want to do with your assets. But if you have a child with special needs, it's really not about you so much anymore. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to lose your money to estate taxes, if you want to leave your money up for creditors or the nursing home or whatever it is, that's kind of your call. It's your money. But, you know, sometimes it crosses the line a little bit more. It's not about you so much anymore when you have an individual with special needs. You've got to provide for them. They have needs. And what we try to get out is, you know, the options are not, let's just leave them out altogether, which I think historically, in years past, that had been the thought, is that, you know, they're receiving public benefits, they're on Medicaid or SSI or what have you, and those are asset-based programs, and let's just leave them off altogether. So, you know, just to try to unwind that old way of thinking and just say, hey, listen, you know, you don't have to leave all the assets to their siblings, and then with the hopes that they'll take care of their brother or sister. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the brother or sister who's supposed to be the caretaker. They may not even want the job. I mean, they've got their own lives. Lives are very busy these days. And, I know even with my own kids, I'm running around here and there, and the thought if I had to take care of a sibling, it'd be very difficult. It'd be a strain on my family. Not that I wouldn't want to do it, but it should be thought about. And I guess that's what it's all about, is just planning ahead of time, thinking about what it is you want to accomplish, who you should be asking, who you should be talking to, getting down your intentions, your thoughts about the child's wishes, getting all that stuff together is an important part of planning. So I think we'll spend a good part of today just on special needs trusts and what have you. But again, more of a bigger picture too. We'll try to sweep that in there as well.
All right. Absolutely fabulous. You know, and to throw a little bit of a twist, while you were talking about this, Brendan, I'm thinking to myself, what if we had a parent with special needs?
Yeah.
Does that happen? I mean, it must.
Yeah, it does. It does. It certainly does. And you know, you see all kinds of situations that do come up. And in that scenario, again, everything's dependent on what they're trying to accomplish. It's almost a reverse type of situation. But it does happen. And I think really what ends up happening there is, you know, if the parent becomes disabled is probably more frequently what we see,
right.
You know, maybe has had an accident. Maybe the spouse will come in to talk to us about, you know, what benefits the husband or the wife could be entitled to. They're not working anymore. Things like SSDI might come up. You know, they had been working, they've been paying into a system. Can they get that? So, you know, knowing what benefits are out there are very important. And then, but again, you know, in that situation where a parent has become disabled, it's important for them, even for typical parents, to plan for disability. You know, that's something that's often overlooked. And in our intake sheet, which we went through a few weeks ago, uh-huh. you probably remember there was a question in there on disability. You know, we ask those questions because we find that that is something that's often overlooked. A lot of people will think about life insurance. But if you become disabled and you can't work anymore, you know, that's a big deal and can certainly happen. And you're putting your children in jeopardy at that point. You're almost putting them in a special needs situation at that point,
right.
Because they're relying on you. And if you can't bring in income, if you don't have an ability to do that, then that's really a problem. So disability insurance, talking about those things, even for typical parents who may become in a situation where they fall into the special needs category, has to be planned for. So it's like layer on top of layer on top of layer, and just making sure you cover all the bases and making sure that we cover, as your lawyer, to cover those bases and bring those issues up. Oftentimes, even if we do, you know, sometimes someone at work has a good disability policy, but a lot of people who are on their own, even myself, you know, I have to have a disability policy. I've got four small kids. Something happens to me, I'm the wage earner. I've got to make sure that that income comes in every month mm-hmm. or every week or however I've structured my policy. But that's a good, very good point.
How old should we be, or even the children with the special needs be, when we should start planning and thinking about this?
Well, you know, I think that if you have a child with special needs, you know, as soon as you find that out, I know you've got a lot going on, as we have mentioned, but when you can get around to it, you should really come on in. We should talk about worst case scenario, because a lot of times, particularly we find with children on the autistic spectrum, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to predict. Will this child be working? Can they support themselves? What benefits might they be on? So the plan we almost have to plan worst case scenario, assuming they're not going to be able to work, assume this, and draft a plan that's flexible so that if a parent does pass away, assets don't go to the child, it can go to the child in trust, and then maybe the trustee can make the call years down the road when the situation is there. That's the whole point. Is prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and if the situation isn't as bad as we think, we can make adjustments later on. It's easier to scale the plan back mm-hmm. than to have the plan undone and then, you know, get rid of the assets at a different point. Because some of these programs like SSI have look back periods themselves and disqualification periods, just like we were talking about in a nursing home situation. Right. There's a look back period on just transferring assets, and you can't just necessarily do that. The other thing is having the ability and the capacity to transfer assets too. If it goes into the hands of a minor, how does that minor make a gift? Minor doesn't have the capacity to make a gift legally, so who's going to be able to make that decision for them? So these are some of the questions that we start, you know, talking about with our clients. And it's really never too young, you know, long-winded answer for you, never too soon to plan. I know a lot of people think it is, you know, oh, I've got this and I've got that to deal with, but you have to.
Oh,
you
yeah.
really have to. This is one area where you can't wait to do it. So as soon as you can get in to see somebody, you should.
Okay. And once again, Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices in Worcester. We're taking a quick break. We'll be back. When we do come back, we're going to talk about some of these plans that you've got for us, Brendan. It's 3:13. You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
People. Over the last 2 years, we have lived through some very dramatic economic times. If this has left you wondering and worrying about your retirement, you're not alone. I'm Eric Spent, financial advisor at Strategic Financial Partners. My team has over 30 years of experience helping people address a full range of financial issues, including how to make your money last throughout retirement. For a free consultation or an invitation to one of our client workshops, please call me at 781-788-4671. Don't waste another minute worrying about your financial future. Call Eric Spent at 781-788-4671.
Eric Spent is a registered representative of New England Securities. Securities and investment advisory services offered by NES, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Branch office 800 South Street, Suite 505, Waltham, Mass., 02453. Strategic Financial Partners is a separate entity of NES. Log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
The sea salt of the world vary in color, taste, and intensity. Now Campbell's has found one that tops them all. It's naturally flavorful. Adding it helps us use less salt than before in Campbell's tomato soup. That famous, familiar flavor, as delicious as ever, now with less salt. Thanks to a very special sea salt in Campbell's tomato soup.
So many, many reasons it's so good.
Do you have questions or need help with your current or pending mortgage? Rob Gallagher of Ross Mortgage in Westboro has over 30 years of experience in the retail mortgage industry. Rob and the team at Ross Mortgage have proficient loan officers, processors, and underwriters waiting to assist you. Ross Mortgage is driven by excellence, respect, ethics, and teamwork. Contact Rob at Ross Mortgage by calling 877-811-5508 or visit them at rossmortgageco.com.
Yellowbook presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now! Where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit Yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at MoneyMattersBoston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network. You chose us, and we love it. 3:17 on your Wednesday, June night, along with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices in Worcester. We're talking about planning for individuals with special needs. And, Brendan, you've got the programs for us and all of the information today, which
that's,
is great.
That's right. Yeah, happy to help and happy to give the information because this is an area that, and we were just talking about near and dear to our heart. I think everyone knows somebody or has somebody that in their lives that may be in this situation. And, you know, the more information we can kind of get out there, and just to relay the options, you know, hey, listen, you don't have to leave all the assets to their sibling. You don't have to cut them out completely. And I think what we're trying to get across here is just to get the information, be knowledgeable about it, and be prepared, you know, because, June, you brought up a great point before the break in asking that question about what ends up happening if a parent becomes disabled. And again, it's about being prepared. I'm an Eagle Scout. That's what we used to say. Be prepared.
Oh, remember you're an those, Eagle Scout.
Yeah, remember
oh, that's
those,
great.
I guess they're kind of corny now looking back.
Right.
You know, be prepared. They used to have these, Boy Scout commercials. I guess we've come very far. I don't see those anymore, but it's really about being prepared and thinking about, you know, what would happen and what worst case scenario. You hate to be the pessimist, but we are the ultimate pessimist in estate planning. And here we go. So
that was the beginning of your estate planning career as a, Eagle Scout that was prepared.
Right.
You didn't
that's
even
right.
know it at the
that's
time.
That's right. Be prepared. That's what we used to get drilled into our head in any kind of situation. And I guess that's probably very true. A planner from my youth. It's kind of corny. And I think, you know, you growing up, these things can't happen. And I think we're hypersensitive to it just being planners because we kind of see everything that comes through. And I think people will say, oh, I don't have to worry. It never happened to me, but it does happen. And it probably won't happen to you. You specifically, whoever you are out there sitting in front of me from time to time. But if it does, you just want to have the documents in place. Kind of like we said before, better to be prepared and not need it than to need it and not have it. You can always dial it back down, but you can't, you know, dial it back up. No matter what, I think special needs planning, particularly for young individuals with special needs, it's about having those things in place, not knowing what the future is. But honestly, we don't really know. The way we plan in our office is we plan to do some post-mortem estate planning no matter what the situation because, you know, we don't have a federal estate tax right now. We don't know if we have in January.
Right, we're not sure.
I mean, everything is about uncertainty, so it's about, you know, getting your ducks in a row, and then, you know, if you don't need it, maybe running another option. As you know, I kind of make a joke now and again. Judging from this frame, you know, I wasn't a football player, but you know, one play I always liked in football is running the option. You know, when the quarterback and the running back run out together, and if the quarterback's about to get sacked, you know, which I always found was amusing. He throws it to somebody else, kind of like what I would used to do. Oh, well, don't tackle me.
Just tackle natural this guy. Instinct, right?
Yeah, it's a matter of survival. You know, I don't have to be faster. You know, fast. I just have to be faster than you. So you know, it's about having options. It's about having some wiggle room and some flexibility because life happens. And even in the future, you might have an unfortunate situation now, might be better. Unfortunate situation now might be worse. Don't know. So, you know, really when you're talking about special needs planning, the big question that comes up are things called special needs trusts and supplemental needs trusts. And the idea there, and just for all of us out there who may not know the difference, there really isn't a difference between special needs trusts or supplemental needs trusts. The idea here is to take assets that someone may leave, and here we're talking about a parent. I'm just going to be very generic. A parent may leave, but it could be an uncle or an aunt, and leave someone else or leave an individual with special needs. The concern is always, well, I don't want to knock them off the programs they're on. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to work. I don't know if they're going to be able to support themselves. I don't know if they're going to have a family. I don't know. I don't know. So, again, knowledge is power. So what are we concerned about? All right, there's two breakdowns here. There's the big concern on benefits is finance and medical. Okay, so if we break that into two different sides, on the finance side, we have two programs, and we can go flip top, bottom, left, and right for all of us who are watching online. Or we'll talk about finance. There's two programs that you hear most often, and a lot of times clients aren't even aware of them themselves, of what they're on or what their children may be on. But it's SSI and SSDI, a lot of the two that sometimes get very much frequently confused. And for a disabled individual, they may be on either program. And for the concern here is that with SSI, if an individual's on SSI, if they're financed, their supplement to get through the month from the government, that is based on assets. Okay, it's an income asset test. Okay, so we always have to be very careful about what the individual owns in their name should they receive benefits, an inheritance. Because obviously if they get an inheritance, it becomes their asset. And then they could get kicked off of SSI, and that's a monthly check they get every month. So you don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, SSDI is another check that comes in is for disabled individuals as well. But that's not asset or income-based. Okay, so if someone's on SSDI, they can be somewhat less concerned about that just on these points alone, on the finance. So we have SSI and SSDI. Now on the medical, we have Medicaid and Medicare. Okay? Mm-hmm. Medicaid kind of runs with SSI. If you're on SSI, you're automatically qualified for Medicaid. So in its own right, has that $2,000 asset limit just like SSI does. Okay, so those kind of run together oftentimes. And SSDI, corollary is on the medical side is Medicare. Okay, so Medicare, if you're on SSDI for 2 years, you qualify for Medicare. So again, Medicare, no asset or income limit. Mm-hmm. Medicaid, there's an asset limit and sometimes an income limit as well. Okay, mm-hmm. So again, wiping that all clear, okay, now that we talked about that up close, standing back for a minute, the concern is if someone's on SSI or Medicaid, SSI for their financial supplement or Medicaid for their medical, then we want to be very careful about leaving them assets. Why? Because there's an asset limit. Okay, we don't want to boot them off the program just to have them have their inheritance. As those two programs go, oftentimes Medicaid is very important because they have a lot of disabilities that they need to cover.
Right.
And if they get this inheritance, they're going to just burn through it and then have to reapply. So it's almost like no sense in giving it to them.
Right.
Which is why we always hear people saying, "Oh, just you leave them off; they're going to be fine." The problem is they're not going to be fine. Hence the name Supplemental Needs Trust, because as I indicated, those programs—one is for medical, one is for SSI—is for what it ends up breaking down for is food and shelter. There's a heck of a lot more in life than food and shelter and medical expenses. I mean, you spend money today, right? Went out yesterday and bought, you know, my kid a Donkey Kong game. I mean, Donkey Kong's not covered.
Is that still around?
Well, it's like this Donkey Kong Jet game for
okay.
Wii.
Yeah.
And he loves the Wii, so
sure.
You know, gotta get him the games. And that wouldn't be covered.
Right.
Okay. But a special or a supplemental needs trust could pay for that. Okay?
Really?
Could pay for it, because that's not something that would jeopardize their benefit. The idea is to leave assets in a trust that are not going to be counted towards those asset-based programs.
Okay.
Okay,
gotcha.
So they yeah. can benefit from it, but it's not counted.
Gotcha.
So they can still okay. receive their SSI benefit, still be on Medicaid, but not have the inheritance jeopardize those programs. So they can almost have the best of both worlds. And oddly enough, I always find it strange to disinherit, you know, these individuals because they have, you know, more needs. They actually need more money. So to leave them out of the picture is not necessarily the most ideal. So again, that's the point of the trust. The point of the trust is to supplement the needs of the child or the individual and then have that child live a more typical, normal, if you will, life as possible. And that helps. Those things help because vacations and video games, Donkey Kong games, all those things that kind of, you know, fulfill a life.
Enhance them, right.
Enhance their lives because they enjoy those things.
Right.
You know, we were just talking about, you know, people, you know, with some people with special needs love video games and computers.
Right.
And it's really something that, you know, they thrive at,
absolutely.
If you will.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
and really enjoy TV. You know, cable, all those types of things. I mean, you cut checks every month. There's a heck of a lot more than what those government benefits supply. So that's the idea there, is to kind of keep those things off to the side.
And this is a special way to do this.
That's right. That's right. So that's right. So, you know, if you're a parent or you're someone who wants to leave benefits for the benefit of a special needs individual, you'd want to set one of these up. And really from that perspective, we call those types of trusts third-party trusts. They're assets of someone else left for the benefit of a special needs individual, as opposed to the benefits that a child may have. And I say – I should just correct myself. I say child here, but I certainly mean any, you know, individual. I mean child, but that could be an adult child. It could be, you know, a young child. But if we're leaving assets in that way or the individual is setting them up for themselves – it's a different type of trust. It is a first-party trust. So you have the individual's assets you have to be careful of and the third-party assets. What we've been talking about so far is someone else leaving them for the benefit of the disabled individual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Much more of a straightforward, discretionary type of trust that we could set up. The other trusts are somewhat specialized but still should be considered in particularly a parent or a grandparent's estate plan. Because a parent or a grandparent can help us establish what we call a first-party trust for the benefit of a special needs individual that would be part of their plan, especially if they're involved in the guardianship and the control of that individual's assets but through the courts, or a conservatorship is what we would call them now, is in control of the assets, then that parent having that type of control has the authority to set up a first-party trust for the child so that if the child does get assets themselves, that they can be put into this first-party trust that the parent would set up. So, again, it's a situation where you'd want to think about your assets, but you also want to think about your child's assets or your grandchild's assets, because parents and grandparents of special needs individuals have a special authority to establish first-party trusts that help us maintain asset levels for special needs individuals to help them keep qualified for some of these programs.
Okay, as time goes on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, once again, it's Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. And the website is estatepreservationlaw.com, and you have a phone number, too.
That's right, 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010.
Okay, we're talking about planning for individuals with special needs. More on that when we return. It's 329, and you're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
Springtime in the backyard. Brought to you with a little help from Ace. For a limited time, buy a Miracle-Gro Liquifeed Kit for only $15.99 and get a $6 mail-in rebate, limit 2. A canopy chair, on sale for $19.99, and more. Use your Ace Rewards card and earn points. Plus, get expert advice to save you time and money. Now that's a value. Hurry in to Ace, the helpful place. Prices good at participating stores while supplies last. See store for details.
This is Joe Mangiacati from MoneyMattersBoston.com with a very important announcement. At age 70 and a half, you were required to start taking money out of your IRA. Many people are confused because in 2009, we were all given a year off from required minimum distributions. It's 2010 now, and you need to know how much to withdraw. The amount you are required to take out of your IRA goes up each year, and your failure to take out required minimum distribution will result in a 50% tax penalty. We are offering a free educational report that shows you year by year how much you have to take out of your IRA. 781-433-0001. How much do you have to take out of an inheritance IRA? 781-433-0001. The rules associated with IRAs and required minimum distributions are complicated. Call now and learn all the rules associated with IRAs and required minimum distributions. 781-433-0001. This free report is available for a limited time. 781-433-0001.
Yellow Book presents Quick Make a Decision Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit Yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Welcome to Progressive.com, the auto insurance utopia.
Hi, what does this policy include?
Well, our policies have lots of free things like 24/7 live support, concierge claim service, and immediate response claim service, and it could save you hundreds.
Is this a dream?
No, rarely do dreams result in actual savings, but we do get that a lot. You could save hundreds. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Concierge claim center is not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Those other guys putting you to sleep? Your energy boost is right here on Boston's best source for financial news and information, the Money Matters Radio Network.
Hey, how you doing on this Wednesday? It's the Money Matters Radio Network, streaming live on the web, moneymattersboston.com. Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices in studio live here in Needham today with me, June Knight, and studio line 888-205-2263. And we're talking about planning for individuals with special needs. So what else do you got for us today, Brendan?
Well, I think, you know, we're talking about special needs trusts, and I think what's important to bring up, because we get this question a lot, is How can we set them up? Do they have to be irrevocable? Do they have, can they be revocable? Is this something I should be setting up now? How do they get funded? And we're going to talk about some of these points because I think that is somewhat inviting or maybe even a disincentive to set them up, or some people may have an image of what they are and say, I don't need that right now. And the answer to the revocable, irrevocable, again, give you a classic lawyer answer, it depends. It depends on the situation because, again, we're always talking about looking at more than one issue here. Even when we're talking about special needs trust, sometimes we're talking about tax planning, and everything has to be looked at in the mix. It can't just be looked at in isolation. So with that in mind, oftentimes for third-party trusts, if I have a couple of young parents in and they're talking about planning for their child with Down syndrome, young child, and they want to start putting money away and they want to start doing some of these things, they certainly can set up a revocable trust to do that. Now, it has to be fit into their other parts of their plan, but again, when you're setting up a third-party trust, it's some money you could put into a trust or even have as a standby trust so that if something happens, the assets go to the trust and then maybe become irrevocable later. But they don't have to necessarily be irrevocable now. What does have to be irrevocable from the outset is some of these first-party trusts that we're talking about, those trusts, those statutory or regulatory trusts that parents and grandparents, people with certain relationships to the special needs individual could set up. Those do have to be irrevocable. And that's, again, by the regulation, by the statute. So when you're setting them up, there is some flexibility, but oftentimes it depends on the type of trust you're setting up. So, again, folks, it depends. The taxation of these trusts also comes up. And a lot of times we'll be asked, how are they taxed? What's the taxation of them? Well, again, it depends. If you're a individual who is setting them up for the benefit of someone else, i.e. a third-party trust, you're setting up a third-party trust, and this trust in the prior situation is a trust that we had just previously described where we had the two parents setting up their own trust, that's a revocable trust. That's going to be taxed back to them. So if they're setting up these types of trusts in their own estate with their own assets, chances are they're going to be taxed back to the people who set them up. If they're irrevocable in some way and they're outside and we're just maybe designing them to get outside of the parents' taxable estate, or they can be taxed to the trust themselves or then maybe on distributions out to the beneficiary. But leaving that complex matter aside, looking back to the first party type trust that we're talking about, where the parent may set up a trust for the individual's own assets, that trust in and of itself would most likely be looked at as and would be looked at as a grant, what we call a grantor trust for the individual set it up. In that case, it would be for the disabled individual. They would be taxed back to them. So it tends to follow the assets in these situations, who put them in, whose assets they are, because they tend to be what we call grantor trusts, and the person who set them up or whose assets they are, I should say, more specifically, will end up having the income tax reporting obligations or the income tax will be flow back to those individuals in that situation. So, that's the revocable, irrevocable distinction. The questions we also get, the tax consequences that will follow. And another big question that we'll always get is, Brendan, who can be the trustee of these things?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. And really, probably more so than any trust that I can think of, these trusts require more thought, because when you're making distributions, there's always thoughts about, well, let's maybe step it back for a minute. What are the trustees' responsibilities? We've talked about this on prior shows, investing the assets, safeguarding the assets, paying the taxes on the trust, watching when distributions are made, how distributions are made in accordance with the trust. But in these situations, distributions also have to be made in consideration of the individual's benefits. And more specifically, and most specifically, when a distribution is made from these trusts, one of the jobs and obligations it is of the trustee is to know how this distribution will affect that individual's benefits. Okay? Do we make a $3,000 distribution out to the beneficiary to their name so they can go deposit it at the bank? No. because now they're over assets. Okay. So, or do we make a distribution for, if they're on SSI, for food? Or do we make it for shelter? You know, rent for their house? No. And the reason is, if they do receive distributions or payments to their landlord with respect to a rent payment, that will have an effect of reducing their SSI payment from the next month, because what ends up happening is that it's a, you know, what SSI is for. So you're supplanting and not supplementing the program.
So it's kind of a conflict of interest.
It is. It's a very complicated. And where I serve as trustee, or where I advise trustees on these special needs trusts, it's very difficult and really requires a lot of thought and creativity as to how you pay for some of these things, because you don't want to jeopardize the individual's assets. So a lot of thought needs to go into them. And oftentimes it's somewhat mind-boggling, because, you know, I have trustees of trusts. There's several millions of dollars in there, and it requires less thought oftentimes than maybe, you know, 50 grand in a CD, you know, and making, how do you make distributions to that special needs individual? It's a lot of thought. So I guess getting back to the original point as to who should be our trustee, your choice of trustees are always three. You have the friend or family member, you have the professional, i.e. the lawyer, the accountant, or the financial advisor. And then you have the corporate trustee, you know, the banks and the, you know, trust companies of the world. Irrespective of any of those people or entities that you may choose, you always want to find out the experience of someone who's going to get involved in a special needs trust. Or if you aren't going to pick someone with experience, someone who has the ability and the appreciation for how difficult administering these things will be, and that will seek counsel to help them administer these things. It's also important, too, if these trusts don't have a lot of assets in them or they require a lot of work, whether someone is up to the job, finding these things out ahead of time, as it is picking a guardian or anything that you choose for your special needs individual. There's a lot of effort, time, and work that goes into this. So the planning becomes more. You need to think harder about who your trustees are. You need to think harder who the guardians would be. You need to think more about life insurance, because you're not just planning for how are these assets going to go and supplement my child's lifestyle when they're 35 and they have their own kids. No, you're thinking about possibly planning for this individual's entire lifetime and all the needs they're ever going to have, and all the things that may come up in their life, and the flexibility you're going to want to have with these trusts carrying out that way. So again, and you know, I hate to pick as if they don't have enough to do already, you know, but this is something else they really need to plan for. They really need to think almost harder about these things instead of less, oh, we're busy. No, you really got to think harder. Again, whenever you can, but it will require some thought.
You know, it's just so interesting you're bringing all of this up, because, you know, we do think, oh, you know, I want to leave, say, my home to a special needs niece or nephew. I want to, you know, want to leave a CD or whatever it is. And then you think, wait a minute. It'll probably need to be distributed in a particular way.
Yeah,
you would never think about that.
It's a great point, and really something we need to bring up, because at the end of the day, it's always in, and again, I'm using this term not as specifically as it sounds, but it's always in the best interest of the child. You know, right. So it's always in the best interest of the child. So oftentimes we'll talk to clients, and I'll maybe sit down with a client who has, you know, millions of dollars, and they have a child with special needs,
right.
and then they'll come to me and say, you know, I want all the programs, I don't want you to have anything except mm-hmm. the programs. And then you have to step back and say, well, is that really in their best interest? I mean, do we really care about the $600 SSI check that comes in a month when you have this much money? I mean, how tight, you know, how should we draft this trust? I mean, do we really need to be concerned about that? It's more oftentimes the medical needs, because if there's a lot of medical needs, that, you know, a lot of money is not going to help. I mean, because if the medical needs are severe, you're going to want to have those benefits and keep those assets real low. But beyond that, you really need to look at, and these things have to be customized, the disabilities, the flexibility, you know, to carry off into the future. And what makes that so hard for now, planning now, looking at for a young child's future, is you just don't know what that's going to be. So oftentimes it requires my clients who have children with special needs to come back in. How are we doing? How's the child doing? Where are we? So good stuff, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the break.
Okay. It is 3:43, and time for a little bit of a break, just for a couple of minutes, but we're not going far. Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices in June Knight. This is the Money Matters Radio Network. We don't talk too much about it.
Radio. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that tells us stories and sings us songs and gives us the score and warns of the storm. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs that makes us wonder and cheer, kiss and cry, and sometimes dance and sometimes fight. It's only a little box filled with sockets and circuits that sits on the counter, that drives in a car, that flies to the sky, that hangs in the bar and asks who we are and what do we think and who do we love and why do we hate. It's only a little box with a cord and some knobs. To see all of the wondrous things about radio, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Brought to you by the radio industry and this station to remind you that radio is heard here, radio is heard everywhere.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day,
including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rob Mitchell, president and founder of Coastal Finance, as well as your co-host here at Money Matters. Coastal Finance provides the key to unlocking the wealth in your home. A reverse mortgage is a government-insured loan that allows seniors 62 years and older to tap into the equity in their property to create tax-free income. There are no upfront costs and no payments for the life of the loan. Please feel free to visit us on the web at www.coastalreverse.com, where you'll find a free reverse mortgage consumer guide, important news, and product developments in the reverse mortgage industry. We also offer free in-home consultations to help you determine if a reverse mortgage may potentially be right for you. Call toll-free 888-974-6262. Again, 888-974-6262 to speak with me or one of my senior reverse mortgage consultants today and find out how much you may qualify for in a reverse mortgage.
Mass license number MC5160, Equal Opportunity Lender.
I'm about to present to you a straightforward commercial for GEICO, the third largest personal auto insurer in the country. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO, and GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Standard & Poor's has consistently awarded GEICO a AAA rating for financial strength. This is usually where I'd say something cute or clever, but like I said at the beginning, we're keeping this straightforward. Goodbye to you now.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network, MoneyMattersBoston.com, and mid-afternoon edition June night, along with Brendan King of the Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester. Brendan, I cannot believe it's 3:47. This show always goes by pretty quickly with you.
Oh, thank you very much. I can't help but take that as a compliment. It's especially when some of the topics are heady, if you will, and they can be dragged out. So I'm glad to hear that it's going. That means it's
it's interesting.
It's interesting.
I think
exactly.
A lot of people out there too. A lot of listeners could probably agree. They might know someone. Mm-hmm. At some degree in their life or in their family, whether it be, a cousin or a niece, nephew, a neighbor, or who knows, a parent or even a friend with some sort of special needs.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, is that if you can get the info out there, anything we talk about is to, if you can get rid of a lot of the misconceptions of planning, and there's a lot of them in special needs planning, the old, I'm going to leave them out, or, I'm just going to leave them everything. I mean, we were just talking about how, family members of clients of mine who, don't want to, they don't, it's amazing. They'll go through the intake sheet and in my intake sheet and they'll say special needs child, and inevitably they all check that they have some sort of connection or relation to a child with special needs and that they've thought about leaving them things and had no idea because, and sometimes it's the aunts and the uncles who may not be as in tune to some of these things. Sometimes the parents will get pamphlets from school and, hey, someone's coming, there's a lawyer coming tonight who wants to talk to you and what you should be doing, but a lot of times we see assets being left from maybe not direct lineal ascendants, if you will, because they're not as in tune to it. They have the familiarity. They want to leave the kids something, but they don't know, never thought about it. So, again, this is helpful for everybody because everyone has a connection or relation. And a lot of times people want to do something for that kid, leave them something. You know, they have a special bond. And if they're not made aware of it, they can actually end up hurting the kid, because again, you leave it to them, you got to kick them off the programs, or unless they can maybe do some.
Who would have known this? You know, yeah. I had no idea.
Getting the info out there, yeah. Exactly. Read all about it. We're talking about trustees. We're talking about revocability, taxation. Another big question we had is, you know, Brendan, especially for young couples, we see it. You know, how am I going to get these assets? You know, how are these assets going to be there for my child, you know, if I were to pass away? Because a lot of young people, including myself, you know, you're worth more dead than you are alive.
Right.
Okay, you know, and we talked about disability insurance. That's such a great point you brought up earlier. But if, you know, the disability goes so far and you fall a little bit harder and you end up passing away, that's really where life insurance can come in, help, you know, very handy. And I think it becomes a big part of a lot of young parents' estate planning. So, you know, again, if you were to pass away, you can have life insurance, you know, fund this trust. Again, you can start putting assets aside in your own trust. Every week you can have automatic debit and whatever is going to help you start saving for that. But I think life insurance oftentimes becomes a big part of it. As clients get older, these things can be funded by, you know, retirement plans. They can be funded by anything. You can put anything in there. Houses. We talked about houses at the break. You know, you can put anything you want in there. And you brought up a good point at the break. Well, what if they don't want to live in the house? Well, the trustee can sell the house, you know, and that trustee can sell the house and you have a pool of cash that then you can invest and make distributions for the benefit of the child or help pay the child, you know, depending again what their programs are, help pay the child's costs of living. Again, if you're not worried about SSI, you know, you can pay for some of those things. If you are, there's plenty of other things in life that these trusts can be used for. And knowing some of the background and the basics of the programs and how assets are calculated and income is calculated. I mean, you learn things every day. I mean, I'm a trustee in a special needs trust and my beneficiary is in Section 8 housing. And any income, and this is administered differently, I find, in every housing authority that I seem to run into. And the housing authority I'm dealing with right now is saying that, you know, any distributions I make, I used to think it was almost every other year if I made it for the same thing, but any distributions I make is going to count as income, which will affect his rent. Okay, because Section 8 housing, you know, you get a break on your rent. Okay, it's a government subsidized program where you get a break on your rent depending on your income levels. But the trust income is going to be counted to that no matter how I spend it or for what I spend it.
Okay.
So, again, these things can be really tricky and complicated.
So that might screw it up pretty
much?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You'd never think about that.
It is. Wow. I mean, there's so many programs out there. And rightfully so, a lot of them are asset and income based because that's the fair way to do it. You know, they have to be. But, you know, having a good, solid understanding of what the program is going to help the trustee out a lot. And the trustee has to be educated about it, at least educated enough to, again, get some counsel and to help them make a decision. Because you've got to follow the terms of the trust. And sometimes if you have a very restrictive trust, a trust that says that no matter what, they can never pay for any benefits for this beneficiary that will supplant the government benefits. It's hard to make what do I do about a Section 8 trust that is going to affect it no matter what? So you just never know what you're going to run into, and flexibility is the key, and I'm a big believer in that, especially in special needs planning.
Okay. It is 3:53. Let's take a quick break. It's time for the Bloomberg Business Update.
This is the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow. Builders in the U.S. unexpectedly began work on more homes in September, a sign the real estate market is stabilizing at depressed levels. The Commerce Department said housing starts rose 0.3% compared to the month before, while building permits, a sign of future construction, dropped to the lowest level in more than a year. Michelle Meyer, senior U.S. economist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch Global Research, doesn't see a pickup in housing starts anytime soon.
I think what we'll obviously need to see for construction to pick up is greater demand for new construction for new homes. And that's going to take time, and it will come with the improvement in the overall economy. It will come with the decline in the unemployment rate. But we think that we're a little bit ways off before we see that upturn in the recovery.
Housing starts increased in two of the four regions, led by a 4.8% jump in the South, the largest area. That's the Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Karen Moscow.
You've done it. Give yourself a round of applause. At Dell, we're celebrating small business, and you can always count on our expert guidance to keep you thriving. Our tribute to you includes great offers like the Dell Vostro 3500 laptop with an Intel Core i3 processor starting at just $549, plus a $10,000 IT makeover sweepstakes. For entry rules and prizes, visit Dell.com/celebrate. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to U.S. Small Business Owners Office on October 27th.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Boston's fastest-growing financial news station, the Money Matters Radio Network. Visit us on the web at moneymattersboston.com.
Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. It is 3:55, June night, mid-afternoon host, and streaming live. You can get us on the World Wide Web, and it's kind of cool, because you can watch, listen, and learn. MoneyMattersBoston.com. And I'm with Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices. And today we're talking about planning for individuals with special needs. Brendan, why don't you give out your contact information?
Sure.
Just in case we run out of time.
Sure. We're at 71 Elm Street in Worcester, and that's Worcester, Mass. 01609, 71 Elm Street. We also have some satellite offices in Braintree, Cambridge, and Cape Cod and the Islands. Our worldwide web address is www.estatepreservationlaw.com, www.estatepreservationlaw.com. Phone number 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010.
Okay, we've got about 4 minutes left. What else do we need to talk about today?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've talked about is some of the legal issues. You know, being a lawyer, I tend to do that. But, you know, I try to be a practical guy, too, as if being a lawyer is not practical. Once in a while, those things do overlap. And I think some of the better lawyers are the more practical lawyers.
Of course.
And one thing I would like to mention is that something that's very important is to think about what we call a memorandum of intent. And there's a lot of, when you have an individual with special needs that you're close to, you're going to know that child better than anyone else. I mean, we talk about protecting assets and all this stuff. Well, those things sometimes don't mean anything, you know, to the individual. What
right.
does mean something is, you know, what their favorite foods are.
That's right.
You know, what they you know, like to watch for TV, who they're close to, what things bother them, you know, what time they like to go to bed. You know, we were talking about during the break, you know, sometimes the routine, you know, and a lot of these individuals really like routine. They don't like things to change. A death or disability of a parent is really, you know, a big change. And, you know, we don't need to make things more of a change than they have to be.
More complicated.
Right, more complicated. So what we talk about oftentimes is, you know, just getting – and I do this for my own kids. My wife and I – again, you're probably going to tease me being this ultimate planner that I am. But even for my own kids, my wife and I – have a book that if something were to happen to us, you know, who the kids go to see for doctors, who they're comfortable with, what time they go to bed, what foods they like, all the things. Because, you know, quite frankly, special needs or not, you know, my children are not of age. They don't have legal capacity. Again, I'm not to judge that legal capacity or not, but by the fact that they're kids, they don't relay everything. In the same way, an individual is not going to be relaying everything. So if something ever happened to our the two of us or a parent with special needs, you're going to want to have something to kind of, you know, leave behind to just let these things be known, because mm-hmm. they're important things. So, again, a memorandum of intent is something that's, a very important thing to leave behind as part of your estate plan. And you can give that out to family members and trustees and that sort of thing. The other thing is just an authority to act for an individual. If you have an individual with special needs that they doesn't mean they don't have legal capacity necessarily, and certainly can have their own estate plan on their own, a will or a trust themselves that they have the capacity to move forward with, power of attorney. These are things that they should be thinking about too. We tend to keep focusing on the third party and what you should be doing leaving behind, but first party themselves, something to consider.
All right. By the way, I like that book that you have for the kids.
Oh, yeah. You do?
I won't tease you about it. That's okay. Great. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Brendan King, thank you so much. We'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Thanks, Jim.
You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is the Money Matters Radio Network. WBNW 1120 AM Concord, Boston. WPLM 1390 AM Plymouth. And WESO 970 AM Southbridge. It's Financial Focus at 8 and Stu Taylor at 11. The Money Matters Radio Network.
Are you concerned about avoiding federal and state estate taxes and or the probate process? Are you concerned about the high costs associated with long-term nursing home care? Or are you concerned about protecting your spouse's financial future in the event one of you were to enter a nursing home?
I'm Todd Lutsky, a partner with the law firm of Cushing & Dolan, here to tell you the...